Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Just stick with us for a minute. And here we are. Good. Good. Just a little replacement engineering today. Some new mechanics, things to do. Hey, we have a special guest with you today. Yesterday we were talking about organizing around the holidays and what it's like to organize around the holidays. And we were talking about some of the new information about stuff that happens with people who have... some of the latest research on what they found out about people who tend to get over-organized at holidays. And one of the, if you weren't listening yesterday, one of the things they found is that some people who are angry tend to get so, they tend to organize Christmas and holidays so much so as an act, an expression of anger. Because really they're angry. And the organization is an expression of their anger. So I thought that was fascinating research that came out of the University of Berkeley. And I thought, well, let's take another look at it. Let's look at Marsha Ramblin. Marsha Ramblin is well known as the organizing pro for her practical skills and her managing business busy lives. And Marsha, who is with us on the air. Hi, Marsha. Who's on phone with us. Hi, Marsha.
Hi, it's great to be here today.
Great, thanks for letting us wake you up.
It's great to be here, and boy, the holidays are coming quickly. Only 3 weeks away, can you believe that?
Well, the holidays are here for many people.
Yes, they are.
For different people, but you know, I mean, besides Christmas, let's just take a taste of what it would be like to be really organized around the holiday season. If you're really going to be organized around the holiday season, and if it was important to you to get organized, instead of being Scrooge, you know, let's say you had a family and your family was dependent on your providing them with a nice Christmas, Marsha would give you tips on how to make that a nicer time. Let's hear first from what Marsha has to say about it. Marsha, go ahead.
Well, I was not one that was organized naturally. I remember standing out right before the holidays in the dripping rain in Chicago trying to buy a bedraggled Christmas tree. And then I'd be in the mall the day I needed to give the gifts. And I'd be up the night before wrapping the gifts the day before giving them. And I thought, this is not a way to live. And so I sat down with my calendar and figured out a way to get organized. And we have Hanukkah today, we have Christmas in 3 weeks, so everyone is focused on one of the big stressors that is causing everybody stress these days, and it lies in three areas that cause 75% of our stress. It's only three areas. If you can figure out how to do that, which we will today, you can really lower your stress and start to enjoy the events and the things that you're going to. One of those events that takes most of our time is the gift buying. So that's 50% of our stress right there. We wonder, what did we give last year? Why am I doing this? Do I have to go out and spend a lot of money? And it really gets stressful. But if you can start on a regular sheet of paper, a gift list that you use the same every year, people's names in the same order, write the year at the top, keep it in a three-ring notebook, and you can look back to last year, and this year started, if this is your first year, and write down what you give, maybe how much you spend, and then you won't be wondering, as people are today, how am I going to get something new for the person this year? It's one of those big, important things to work through the holidays.
Wait just a minute, Marsha. Now, listen, You mean take a good three-ring binder, make a list of your Christmas, and then put it. How are you going to find it next year?
Well, you want to make sure to get one that you is colorful, one that you like, but one that other people won't be looking in to find out what their gifts are.
All right. I've got my suspicions here, Marcia, and I want to thank you with me by the name. What's the name of... Well, actually, you don't have a book about Christmas organization tips. You write a couple of books about organization in general, right?
That's correct.
Could you tell me the books that you've written?
I've written Simplify Your Life, you know, Organize and Stay That Way. And that came out a couple of years ago. It sold lots of copies, very popular and still available. So you're organizing your time and your life. Then the second one is out right now, Simplify Your Time. Stop Running and Start Living. It's a 30-day time makeover out at Costco and Office Depot, and that is just changing people's lives with about a four-minute chapter a day for 30 days, and wow, the results are just amazing for people. The one that's out right now is Simplify Your Space, and the great thing about that is if you have a guest room to clean up before company comes at the holidays or a kitchen that needs an overhaul before you invite relatives over, you can do it room by room, simplify your space. Just pick the room that you need, and you will get organized.
Well, here's a problem we have, Marcia, you see. See, the problem is that when they sell desk organizers, they always sell them to the people who wind up using the desk organizers to hold their excess jelly jars and to put their underwear in, you know, compartments, because a desk organizer is only bought by a person who isn't organized. They're not bought by organized people. Here you are with organizational tips coming from an organized person to organized people, because if people knew enough to take a notebook and write down 10 names, the names from last year, and save them from last year, they probably wouldn't have the trouble. You know, nowadays you don't even have to put it in a spiral notebook. You could save it on your laptop. You could save it in your computer, you know. So that's one. So when we're listening to these, here's what, you know, I kind of like the thing from, what was that? What the Simple Folk Do. Here's what the organized folk do. And what the organized folk do is they do organize and they have tips for us, for the rest of us who are not organized. Let's go through your 10 steps and see maybe we can pick up a hint or two that latches on to us. So one is make a list, Christmas gifts, make a list.
Okay, that's important. But I have to tell you, I was not organized, and that's why I learned how to be organized, and that's why I've been teaching it for the last couple decades, is because I understand how unorganized people think, and my heart goes out to them. But I really think with the right tips, you can make a change.
I think you're right, too. I think there are certain rules, like I made a rule for myself never to touch the same piece of paper three times. You know, without doing something with it.
I like that.
Now, that rule was very important to me because when I keep seeing that same piece of paper appear more than three times, I know it should either be filed, thrown out, or dealt with. And I'm certainly not an organized type, but I do know one little tip like that for myself made sense.
That is perfect because most organizers say handle a piece of paper once, but you have adapted it to something that's more comfortable, and that's the rule of three. So three times, perfect. That's what you do with rules is you take them, make them work for you, and then you know what makes your life work best.
Then I had a wonderful experience, Marcia. A friend, a good friend who saw my desk always filled with too many papers, bought me a beautiful leather trash basket that said, "On your trash." On your trash, what you should do is you should take the stuff off your desk and put it in here once a week. And if you put it in this bin, this way it's not on your desk, eventually you'll get to deal with it or not deal with it. Well, I did that for a month. And by mistake on a month, we have people who come in my office who actually clean up the office. They sweep the floors. And this person came in and threw away that bin thinking it was trash. So I actually didn't miss it one bit. I actually saw that there was a whole bin of things that were thrown away that I never needed in the first place. And very often that's people find that to be true, that stuff that they're saving they don't need. Let's get on with your 9 other tips.
Okay. I suggest buying gifts in a theme for the year. one major category. So you might decide this year, all right, for the women in my life, I'm going to get them beautiful spa baskets and maybe even a bathrobe so they feel elegant and, you know, personally touched. And then for the men, you might get sports tickets or maybe an entertaining DVD in their interest area. And so that's kind of a theme, and then within the theme, you target it for each person. Personalized restaurant gift certificates are great, CDs, maybe even sweaters for everyone, and you can give everyone a different kind and color, but you've got your theme of sweaters for sure.
What a nice idea. What a nice idea. So you're saying actually go along with a thing like if you're going to have music for everybody. This year I give music to everybody. This year I give theater to everybody. This year I give entertainment to everybody. What a nice idea to have a theme of all your gifts.
It really helps, and it,
I like that.
It equalizes out the money you spend on people. So some, you know, it's like children. You don't want to give toys to one and clothes to the other. You want everybody to kind of have the same thing, but personalize it within the category. Well, here's another one. It's good to mark your calendar with a two-hour appointment. Say on Thursday night you're going to pull out a cookie recipe and for the first time bake it and surprise people at the holidays with your favorite. And then on Saturday you
can... Wait. What is this Thursday night two-hour thing?
You have to make an appointment with yourself to get some things done that you normally don't get done for the holidays.
So Thursday night, you have a date, and nothing gets in the way of that date with yourself?
Usually not. You can move it the day before or the day after. You know, if you get an important ticket event, you know, you want to go to that. So just move it to the day before or after. But our calendars are full all year round, so you have to sometimes put in something for the holidays to get ready.
I mean, you do that on a regular basis?
That's right.
So if your honey sidles up to you with a bottle of champagne and says, honey, let's not work today. Let's,
Yeah, well, then you might want to put the cooking aside and spend some time. You can, Friday night is a good time after work or after the week with the family to spend decorating. And then on Saturday, it's a good time to get online, to do the rest of your shopping, and then also some cleaning for the holidays. We have 3 weekends ahead, so a lot can be done. Christmas did not come early this year. It's a good year between Thanksgiving and Christmas with the extra week. So this is a good year to get ready.
Also, most people I know are doing their shopping online. You know, they're finding things online, and they're finding things that are bargains, and they're having them delivered in time. I know people who have completely done everything online.
I really recommend that. That's great. And here's to add to that. You can ship it to the spouse or the parent of who you're sending it to in their name and ask them to wrap it. So it goes directly from the store you're purchasing from to the location, and you don't have to pay for shipping twice.
Wow. And you don't have to, you're right. Now you're kind of taking out all the human factor. You don't even have your fingerprints on it.
Well, you can send, if it's a family, you can send the gift cards and the gift tags and attach a note for each one.
But, and for most of the kids, they don't care that you took special care in wrapping the present. You know, most of us giving the gifts want to give the gift so that we could see the person receiving the gift.
Exactly.
Right? We're not giving it so much to give it, so we don't want it just to arrive without our name. We want to see the delight when you get a 10-year-old boy opens it up and sees socks.
Yes. Well, if you
don't
can't
buy
be there,
anybody socks.
Well, if you can't be there, you want to make sure that somebody gets it and wraps it for them, and then they're still surprised because it does get there.
Okay, and very often gift wrapping is available from the place you buy it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that tip comes from Shop for Convenience, either online at one store or at one mall to simplify the abundance of all your choices.
Where do you live?
I live in Dallas.
In Dallas, Texas. Where are you now?
We are in Dallas now. We moved here about 9 months ago from San Diego.
So Dallas, Texas is a little different than New York.
It really is.
When it comes to shopping, well, it's not that different. You got a lot of shopping over there. You can go out your door and, you know, just travel a few hundred miles to your nearest grocery store, can't you?
Well, we also lived in Rochester, New York, so, you know, I've enjoyed all three parts of the country. It's very fun.
So you really know the fast life.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So speaking of the fast life, here's another tip. Stretch your limited social time by attending an event and inviting friends for dinner beforehand or dessert afterwards. So if you have an event you either have to go to or you want to go to, and you know you want to get together with your friends, instead of giving two nights out, say, hey, how about if we get together for dinner beforehand or let's go to dessert afterwards, and you enjoy the event and create a memory of being together. How does that sound for a fast life?
Well, it sounds kind of interesting, but let me see now. Are you saying if somebody invites me to dinner at their house, I invite my friends over to that person's house for dinner for dessert?
No, I'm thinking of going to a concert. So you want to invite somebody to go with you to the concert instead of just you and your spouse or family or friend. Invite them to meet you for dinner beforehand and then attend it.
Makes sense to me, making it your social evening. It's actually like a celebration when you do that. It's like New Year's. You go from group to group as well.
Exactly. So do things you enjoy over the holidays, and if you're not going to show up, let the host know right away so that they can plan accordingly, but make sure you're letting people know ahead of time. And you can even take on your calendar. Here's another tip. It just looks like a busy month in December, but somehow, believe it or not, if you take a red pen and circle all the events that have to do with the holidays, you start to feel like, oh, yeah, there's joy in this season. I'm going to be doing some events I want to do and don't get to do the rest of the year. And really look forward to the ones that you're doing.
Wait, I want to go back for a minute, Marcia, if you would, by the way. And just to go back to what we were talking about when it came to this thing about calling people. We're speaking, by the way, with Martha Ramsland, R-A-M-S-L-A-N-D, author of Simplify Your Life, Simplify Your Space, Simplify Your Time, Simplify Your Mind, Simplify Your Marriage, and Simplify Your Death. Famous books. How do you like Simplify Your Death? I like that one. That should be somewhere in your future.
All right. I think you made up those last four titles.
I did make up the last four. Okay, but they can look for Simplify Your Space, Your Life, and Your Time, right?
Exactly.
Now, Marcia, you said something about when letting hosts know. Now, this is something that goes into the world of civility. And there's something that people don't understand. People think that because a person throws a party and they invite you, that you may or may not be significant. Every human that is invited to a gathering is significant to the person throwing the gathering. Everything counts. Knowing that you're going to be there, knowing that you're bringing somebody, knowing that there's going to be a place setting or having to order an extra pizza or whatever it is that you're getting, whatever it is that you're doing, it is very important that you have the cordiality and the politeness to tell your host whether you're going to be there or not. And to let them know, I'm not going to be able to make it to your party tonight. I'm sorry. Because I have heard of so many people being bruised by people just not showing up. And when asked, why didn't you show up, the people say, I didn't show up because I didn't think it was that important. It was a big party. Who cares, you know? But the truth is, the host cares. And you may lose future invites by not showing up. It's like not showing up for a doctor's appointment. You know, here I am, I have appointments with people, and people come to see me. And I set aside 1 hour for people to come and see me for a consultation. Some people actually don't show up. And they don't show up, and I sit there with this precious space that people, you know, that people are kind of clamoring for, and they don't think they're significant. They don't think it matters. Not even a phone call.
Exactly. And the holidays are one time of connecting that you can't do the rest of the year. So it's really important to follow the tip I put in my other books. Plan tomorrow the night before. And like you say, for an appointment the next day, people should have the courtesy to call by 5 o'clock the day before. But we're talking about events that they got invitations for about 4 weeks before it happens. even if it's 2 weeks before, they need to be called as soon as possible. And if only to say, hey, thanks for the invitation. I'm looking forward to it. There's just a couple things I have to check with the family. So I'm a 50-50. I might be there, I might not. But know that I'm really excited about your invitation. And then as it gets closer, you can let them know. But at least acknowledge you got it and what you're thinking at the time.
You know, I once received, I remember a gift I received. A platter of something was sent by a baker. And it was from somebody who was invited to a party I was throwing. And the platter said the following. The gift said the following. I hope to see you later tonight. In case I'm not there, I would love to contribute to your party.
Oh.
And I was, I mean, never forgotten. Gift was never forgotten. The platter couldn't have been more than $25 or something, the kind of thing you might bring if you were going to a party. Do you know what I mean? And it was tremendous. And the person did show up, and it was great. Imagine if they didn't show up at all, they would still be remembered.
Oh, my goodness.
Throw that in your book.
That is awesome. That person should get a gold star, and every one of us should follow that example of sending something ahead of time with a note and then showing up as well. Wow, that's really awesome.
Good. Let's continue with your tips.
Okay. You also want to buy practical gifts for practical people and sentimental gifts for sentimental people. So you want to, you get a clue by the kind of gifts they give you. So if, believe it or not, I lived in Wisconsin, and I remember growing up the year that my dad replaced the, we lived on Lake Geneva, which is a great resort lake, the boat motor, and he gave my mom the boat motor for Christmas. Oh, my goodness. That was the worst thing he ever did in gift giving. He was thinking very practically how expensive this was, how much she enjoyed the water, and this would be great. And she was in a huff for years to come because women like sentimental gifts. They'd rather have a necklace or a piece of jewelry or a cologne, a fragrance, a new fragrance. And so you have to remember, women tend to be a little sentimental majority-wise, and men tend to be practical, so not gender-specific, but the person-specific.
Well, here's a gift idea that someone came up with years ago that I think is really fabulous. You know, when you're low on money and you can't give a gift, especially to someone you love and care about a lot, you know, like if you're giving gifts to the children and you're saying, we'll use all our money for the children, but for each other we give yourself... Try giving each other a gift certificate. Now, here's the gift certificate that you could create. Here's a gift certificate that I give you, my honey, for one home-cooked meal of your choosing anytime you want. You say what you want, I'll make it for you. Another gift certificate would be for one foot massage. Whenever you want it. And you could take that all the way along the limits of sensuality. You give a person a gift certificate or a book of gift certificates that mean forever you could claim on me. For the rest of next year, you could call on these. It's like Fruit of the Month Club. This is the Gift of the Month Club. You could call on a gift from me, and it requires nothing but a piece of paper and a magic marker, and you cut these things up and you give them as a gift, and it's a wonderful gift to give. It's more touching than almost anything you could buy because you're thinking, I will read you a poem. Here's a gift. Here's a certificate that says, whenever you want me to, I will read you a poem of love. Whenever you want to, I will turn off the TV.
That's really great. And you may even want to put that in like a little photo book.
Beautiful.
So that they have something to hold in their hand when they open the box. So instead of feeling like it's an evaporated gift that's going to maybe happen in the future, they actually hold something like a little photo book with each certificate in it. That's a great idea.
Perfect.
That reminds me of another kind of gift to give, and we're finishing up on our tips here. You want to also think about the person that has everything and maybe give them a magazine certificate for the coming year in a new area for them that they like. And then what you do is buy the current issue, wrap it up, and say, my gift extends all year, you'll get this every month, and know I love and appreciate you as you open it.
That's a really nice thing. New magazines, especially in an area that a person may not like there's a couple in my field that are brand new that people would just love to get for a period of time. But now we're going back and you talk about, you said earlier that if you pick one theme, like I'm going to give subscriptions to everybody, right? That could be either to the heart or it could be to the organized mind. If I buy CDs for everybody, you could be even giving practical CDs, like, you know, music that people could play in their office or stuff like that. Or you could be giving people, educational CDs. Could be for one group of people where you could be giving Beethoven to another. That you could just spend your entire Christmas shopping could be all in one store.
Exactly. And that's so good because we have three weekends coming up before the holidays end. So write that list, and if you have 10 people on your list, divide it by 3 and cover 3 or 4 of those each of the weekends to complete the list. And it won't seem so stressful when you know you just have 3 gifts to get this weekend.
All right, now let's complete this, and then after we go to take a short break, Marcia, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to have you come back and talk about organizing your space.
I would love to.
Okay, hang on the air with us, simplifying your space. But first, have we completed the Christmas suggestions?
We have, but I have something for the listeners, a free download on my website of 10 tips for them to organize their holidays. And 10 decorating tips by my friend, the decorating coach, Susan Wells. So if they go to my website, if you don't mind if I give this.
No, please do.
Okay, organizingpro.com. On the home page on the left-hand side, it says 10 free tips to simplify your holidays. And when you click on that download, it will also include 10 tips to decorate your home for the holidays to, in a fast way, make it look great and keep it simple. There are pictures there. And also there's a holiday notebook, as we talked about earlier. You can download, start your own 3-ring notebook, and a great gift list in there for people to get started with that.
That's really wonderful. My guest is Marcia Ramslin, who is an author and is an organizer. She's an organizing pro. And it doesn't sound like, Marcia, that the way you organize doesn't sound like it gets people annoyed. You know, you don't sound like you're the kind of organizer who forces people to do things. I was watching watching one of these great chefs who was doing a thing where she was organizing a party and she was making these dishes for people to eat, and everybody was organizedly smiling and laughing, and you could just tell they weren't having a good time, but they were terrified to disagree. And then I saw another one with Mario Batali, where everybody was sitting at the table and just having a really good time, and some people were eating and some people weren't eating. And you could see the difference, the very strict organization of the first person who had terrified people with her organization. It was so well organized, you couldn't have a good time.
Exactly. Well, I like to organize people, and the best way to organize people is give them choices. And if you know where your weak spot is and you hear the tips you need, you're going to decide to make the change. So that's my goal in life, is to help people live life easier by getting organized and getting the chaos out of their life.
We'll be back with you in just a little bit talking about simplifying your space. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. It's just about 1:30 here in this fabulous, cool New York City. What's the weather out there in Dallas?
We have a sunny day today. It's probably about 65, maybe 70 degrees.
Mm.
Good day to get out and enjoy the warm weather before the cold weather comes for winter.
Yeah, your cold weather for you is different than cold weather for us. I am yearning to sweat again. It's 1:30. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes, my friends. Here's a nice little...
Partigiano, porta mi via. Oh, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 partigiano. Spagna. Oh, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. E se io muoio sulla montagna, tu mi devi seppellire. E tu mi devi seppellire. Oh, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao.
That's the sound of Taksim Beyoglu, just because we do something different here. And Marcia, you're still with us?
I am. That was great. Very inspiring music there.
Thanks for taking it through. We're speaking with Marcia Ramblin, who is in Dallas, Texas, as we speak, 65 degree, Dallas, Texas.
And it's sunny.
Sunny,
oh, my
Dallas,
goodness.
Texas.
That's great. I've lived in Rochester, New York, where it was cloudy for 9 months of the year. I've lived in San Diego, where it's sunny all year. So we're right in the middle now. This is working out well.
Well, let me ask you, Marcia, to simplify your space. Now, you know, it just seems, did you know this, Marcia? This is kind of a fascinating thing. They discovered in the back of the human brain a thing called the anterior cingulate gyrus. And in this little pea-like structure in the brain, they found if it were underactive, a person had a great deal of difficulty organizing and putting things in order and getting rid of things. So they found that people who hoard, H-O-A-R-D, tend to have an underactive anterior cingulate gyrus.
Wow.
Cingulate gyrus.
I'm impressed. I hadn't heard that before.
I thought you would as a scientist who's studying this stuff. So they found medications that activate that part of the brain, and they found electricity that activated that part of the brain, and they found that it actually made a difference and people began getting organized. Most people don't need to have that happen to them. Most people don't need to have that. But most people are on such a kind of a time level. They have so much information to process. We found out, for example, that people with low serotonin, and that is people who are usually very, very thin, who have low serotonin, have a great deal more difficulty organizing thought than do people who have higher serotonin. Because there is a part of the brain, again, that is, you know, it's like the information comes in, and if you don't have the serotonin, you can't take that information in all at once, and you get the feeling that you're being overwhelmed over and over again. And sometimes it just has to do with having the right nutrients in your body. So there are so many factors that affect it. So it's not as simple as going and buying a book, but if you are a person who has decided that you're at a level where you want to shift over from being somebody who has, you know, who is a teenager, who has their clothing everywhere, as most people grow up, you know, to becoming an adult so you could have some kind of a home where you could have things where they are, where you would like them to be, and that they have some kind of cleanliness to it, and they're not carrying every bit of dirt from the floor, and that people aren't stepping on them as they come into your house, and you have a home that's more welcoming to people. If you decide to make that shift, maybe Marcia's other book, Simplify Your Space, this new book, And some of the tips from that can help. So let's talk about it, Marcia. Give me some tips.
All right. Well, the important thing to remember is one pile sitting out is the beginning of a complicated life. We want to keep your life simple and put the pile away. We're not probably talking about a complete overhaul of your house, but we are talking about the areas that trip you up and slow your life down. I feel the faster the pace of your life, the more organized you need to be. Otherwise, you're saying constantly, I'll do this later, I'll do this later. And the weekend comes and you say, I don't feel like doing this. And it just piles up and your life slows down and you just have so much stress going on. So my goal is to help people find ways easily to reduce their stress and move ahead. Now, what you were talking about is that there are people who have trouble organizing, and because I've been a professional organizer for over 20 years, I thought, what if I taught the readers how to stand at the door of any room in their home and look at it like a professional organizer would? So what I did was write from the most visible rooms in your house to the more difficult, least visible ones, how to go through it. And at the end of each chapter is a 10-question checklist that you can stand at the door. You can grade yourself and say, oh, I'm doing this well, or, wow, I never noticed that until I stood here now looking at it, because we all have visual tune-out on our own stuff. And then I thought, well, there are readers who still don't like to read but want it really quickly. So we put a diagram. A great illustrator did this for me and put 1, 2, 3 steps for every room in the house, and you can visually see what's first, second, and third in each room of the house.
Well, give me an example of what would be first, second, and third. Let's say you take a picture of your living room, and you look in your living room, and there near the TV is a pile of remotes and what other kind of thing, newspapers, magazines, and yesterday's socks.
Okay, exactly. That's the normal kind of clutter we're looking at in either a living room or a family room. And where you want to start is the waist height, where you have a line of sight across the room. So that would be your coffee table, end tables, couch, chairs, all those sitting surfaces and tabletop surfaces. Start with those, and if it's magazines, gather them up and keep the most current one. Let the other ones go, or put them in a holder on your bookcase. Then you go through catalogs. My motto is new one in, old one out, even if you have to read it on the spot. And then you go through the newspapers. And I've learned from people that are organized, it's usually one of two rules. Either new newspaper in, old one goes out in recycling the next day, or on the weekend you go through them and then they all go out so you have a fresh start on Monday morning.
So new one in, old one out.
Even if you have to read it on the spot.
I mean, is that an attitude? You really believe in that?
If you have the goal of keeping a simple space around you so that you can have a rich life, that works well. People that have stacks of newspapers to read and catalogs and magazines are often the ones who get a little more and more depressed, until there comes a point where they call in an organizer to do it for them. So we're just kind of helping them see organized people generally don't leave a lot of things out because they have a system of time of when it's in, when it's out. People that have a lot of stuff don't have systems.
We have a system in New York. We have a thing in New York. I don't know if you have it down there in Dallas. Our mailboxes are filled with trash mail, with just, you know, third-class mail. And there's a kind of rule, you know, if you take your mail and you bring it into your house, the best idea is never to bring it in your apartment. If you're living in an apartment, try not to bring in that which is going to be thrown out. Save yourself that one step. Stop off. Stop at the garbage pail. Stop somewhere where you could leave it before you bring it in your home. Don't bring in what in your home what's going to stay around too long. Like, don't bring home friends who are not going to leave.
Well, I'm just a fanatic about the mail, and I have 5 file folders that I've been teaching people to use to go through that mail pile, because the post office told me the average household receives 15 pieces of mail a day. 5 of those we deal with, and those are like bills to be paid and important things. 5 of them are generally junk mail, and you're either going to recycle them or get off the mailing list or return to sender. But the dangling 5 are the ones that start the pile on your kitchen counter or in your family room, and those are the ones that the 5 file folders are for. So think of bringing your mail, as you said, don't bring in what you don't want, just like in, you know, friends, that's kind of cute. Keep out what you don't want. You can even have a garbage can right by the door that you enter the house and drop it there. But when you do bring it in, open it in one spot. Don't let it float around to different places in the house, but one spot, usually your kitchen counter where the calendar is and your telephone. And if you make yourself stand, you'll get through it a lot faster than if you sit in a comfortable chair.
You know, I learned something about bookkeepers' desks, you know, about the 17th century, 18th century, 19th century, when there were bookkeepers who worked in offices, they were always given desks without chairs. And these desks, bookkeeper desks, are at standing height. And the reason they were at standing height is it helped the bookkeeper organize, because the boss realized that if the bookkeeper sat, they weren't going to be putting things away appropriately where they should be put, which is in the shelves that were to their right or left. So people who were bookkeepers back in the early 1900s stood practically all day, their whole working day. So it kind of validates what you're saying, that standing and taking care of tasks is not a bad idea, because once you sit down, you know, you're kind of inviting it to live with you. You're kind of giving it a little space in your house. You're kind of saying, come on over here, honey, you got no place to go. Sit on my desk.
I think it takes double the time when you sit down to do your mail as well. So normally with 15 pieces of mail a day, you want to allow 15 minutes to go through it. And that's not just the return address labels. That's dealing with it until either 5 minutes or less, you're going to RSVP or fill out the bill and return it. If it's more than 5 minutes, you can write it on a master list and file it in To Do, which is one of the 5 file folders. I talk about this in all 3 of my books. It's that important. And then you want to assign it to a day to do, either mentally or on paper, the 3 days you most can control, today, tomorrow, or the next day. And that way you can get through the things that need to be done without having to do it right then. A quick tip is when you get a trifold piece of paper in a regular size envelope, there's usually 3 pieces, advertisement you can toss, the return address envelope, and if it's a bill, you tuck your bill under there and put it in your bills to pay with the date on the front that it's due or the week before it's due. But if you get a trifold piece of paper or a newsletter, go through and read the first paragraph, the subheadings, the bold areas, and if you're really short on time, go straight to the PS, because that tells you the entire summary of the letter and what action step they want you to take. Make a decision on that PS, am I going to do it or not? If not, tear it in half and toss it out right then. If you're going to do it right away and get it off your mind and off your desk.
Simplify Your Life is the name of the book by Marcia Ramblin. You know, Marcia, I know people who, they get 15 pieces of mail, 5 of them are bills, 5 of them are junk mail, and 5 of them are something in the middle. They throw the bills away, and they take the junk mail home.
Oh.
Because they just don't want to be bothered with the bills. So that's simplifying your life. Simplifying your life. I remember when I was a kid, and I remember I was living in an apartment where I paid $60 a month rent. It was on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. I had a rent bill to pay, an electric bill to pay, a telephone bill to pay, and I had $10 to my name. Just 10. There was not a penny more. I burned it. I burned the $10 bill just to free myself from the obligation. It was such a wonderful feeling of freedom, and it somehow helped me future take from there steps at organizing my life. Because we have to remember, we're not a slave to this stuff. We want to take control on it because somehow we want to be able to feel a little better about ourselves, and having things where we want them, and having a home that looks the way we want it to look, you know, and having something that looks like it's in order just feels good. Having clean stuff around just feels good.
Exactly. And one of the areas, if it, our listeners are in their office, their home, is just look around right now and see if there's three pieces of paper you could toss out right now, or one spot you could clear on the center of your desk by stacking up paper neatly on the side. It just is, when you have clear space, it gives you a freedom. And I have put in here one chapter on simplify your office. People are amazed at the diagrams and the ways to manage time and get things done. I would highly recommend it if you're just thinking about your office, the daily mail. It's just a great thing to go through and get your office calmly put together.
Well, you know, nowadays people are living in cubicles in their workspaces. That workspaces have become, many people who used to have offices have now, especially in the advertising business and the publishing business, they've become cubicles. So in cubicles, you have to be able to figure out how to organize your cubicle. And that's a very small space. You get something that's 4 foot by 4 foot. If that's not done to your liking, if it feels ugly to you and the people that pass by, it actually affects you. It affects your work.
I really believe that. And one of the easiest ways to start is to clear things off the walls as you look at them, in bulletin boards usually, in those cubicles, and the clear workspace right in front of where you work. The one file drawer that you generally have in a cubicle is either full of the prior person's things or else your old stuff you never reference. But that stuff on top of the desk should really go in that current file drawer. And if people learn to start putting their projects in files and just writing a quick note on the top, on the tab, you can put it in that current file drawer and not feel bad that it'll be lost, because you have a note on your desk, a master list of how you're going to get things done. But definitely this is the age. We have to learn how to manage email, our paperwork, and our projects.
What about your children now? You have children and you want to teach them this beautiful skill of somehow we want to teach a child that to have their life a little organized gives them a little better chance in life in the future. We know this for a fact. Yet we don't want to over-discipline them. What tips do you have for people with their children when their children tend to be chaotic, and that chaos is based on, you know, the energy of the family life? Let's say you're living in a world that's just chaotic and there are people coming in and going out and you don't have a stable home, but yet you want to help your child develop this skill. What could you do?
That's been one of my concerns. I had been a school teacher before, and I talked to a group of fourth graders, and we actually went through and taught them how to use their time for the week. And I asked them at the end of our training time, how many of you go to bed by 9 o'clock? And out of 25 kids, 4 of them did. And I said, how about 10 o'clock? Maybe we had 8 kids out of 25. The teacher and I looked at each other and said, they're going to bed after 10 o'clock. And then we checked, you know, 10:30, some were going, 11 o'clock, the majority were going to bed, and some even at 11:30. The best thing you can do for your kids is teach them how to organize their habits and their time. You probably didn't know this, but I wrote a booklet called Ages and Stages of Getting Children Organized, 7 Age-Level Habits and Skills for Parents to Teach Their Kids, so that by the time they're 18, out of high school, they will have life skills of how to manage their lives. Let's say you have a primary grade child, first through third grade. At that time, it's good to start making their bed before school and breakfast, put away their own things, and empty the dishwasher. I find I work with adults organizing them, and I say, did your parents ever teach you to make your bed every day? And they go, no, I never had to. My mom always did it. And I said, you know, it kind of is a correlation. People that don't balance their checkbooks never learned the routine skills as a child to just keep up on their own little world, which is a child's room. And amazingly, when a child is organized at home, I found they do better in school by actually almost a whole letter grade on their tests and on their skill levels, because when you have an orderly mind, when you work orderly and you think orderly, you're going to do better in life.
Yeah, except you don't want to get too orderly, because when the mind gets too orderly, the heart gets completely disconnected, you know, and there are times that you try to overthink and overorganize everything. Can you organize love? Do you have 10 steps for organizing your love life yet?
No, we don't, but what you...
But I'll tell you, you probably do, without even knowing it, Marcia. You know, we probably all have 10 rules that if we decided to write down 10 rules to simplify my love life, every one of us would write down, for example, don't love violent people. Don't wind up spending too much time with people who don't give anything back. And people would make a list. In fact, I think we're going to create this list. Let's make a 10 tips on simplifying your relationship life list. And what I'd like to do is get from people some tips that they know, and they could email those to me, and I'll forward them to you, Marcia, and you can put them in a book if you want.
Oh, that would be great, because I think one of the stressful things is relationships. That would be great. And what you're talking about is my relationship life works best when, and then people can just fill that out and go, yeah, you know, when I see this person and they're negative, my life isn't working. But when I find somebody really positive, my life starts to work better because I'm surrounding myself with 5 people every week that I really love and like to be with, and they're positive. It really helps.
Marcia Ramsland, R-A-M-S-L-A-N-D, Simplify Your Everything. And it's in Marcia's website, is organizingpro.com. You could tune in there to get your tips for how to organize your season and other tips as well. Marcia, thank you very much for being with us.
It's been a pleasure, and I wish everyone a happy holidays. And remember the one principle, keep what is working, change what is frustrating. Thanks so much.
Oh, boy. Didn't she just say a mouthful? You're welcome. Didn't she just say a mouthful? Keep what is working. Wow. And dump what's frustrating. Well, not always, because sometimes in life you have to work through certain things, you know? Sometimes what's frustrating eventually becomes the most important thing for you in your life, like learning to do tasks or learning a job or loving somebody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. So send me those tips that you've learned about your relationship to Armand at thepositivemind.com. Tomorrow, guess who's coming back? Esther Perel. The Esther Perel will be here in the studio. You heard Esther Perel a couple of weeks ago. We were talking, she's a sex expert, and it's going to be, she's a dynamic speaker. So be sure to tune in, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You can listen to today's show again by going to WBAI.org and going to the archives, or you could go to my website, thepositivemind.com. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with more exciting stuff. Oh, that's what I meant to give people. Here we go. Brent Lewis, by the way.